turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is now chapter 25 of the book of Vayikra, or Leviticus, and it says, "And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe," and then we get the words that are unique here, the first ones, Behar, or Behar Sinai, in the Mount Sinai. And he said, "Speak unto the B'nai Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then you shall keep for the land a Sabbath unto Yahuwah." Now let's pause there, because there's a couple interesting things about. One, why does it say this time, and it doesn't say it as many other times? I mean, obviously it tells us where it is when he does the speaking, but why is it important that it's in Mount Sinai? And then it's also a specific caveat. When you come into the land, then you'll give these Sabbaths to the land. Well, let's see what it says. And I think some of this will become a little bit more clear. There are obviously some elements that are going to be prophetic that we'll see too. But first off, the land Sabbath. 6 years you sow your field. 6 years you prune your vineyard and you gather your produce from it. But in the seventh year, that is a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land. A Sabbath unto Yahuwah, you shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. And this is called the Shemitah year in Hebrew, of course, for the seventh. And it gives us a bit more detail. It says, "That which grows of itself of your harvest you shall not reap. And the grapes of your undressed vine you shall not gather. It is a year of solemn rest for the land. Now the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, for you and your servant, your maid, your hired servant, your settler by your side that sojourns with you, and free cattle, your beasts in your land, all of the increase shall be for food. And you shall number seven of these, seven Sabbaths of 7 years unto you, seven times seven, so 49. There shall be unto you the days of seven Sabbaths of years, 49 years. And then you shall make a proclamation with a teruah." And teruah, of course, is the staccato blast of the shofar. "On the 10th day of the 7th month." All right, we know what that is. That's the Day of Atonement. "You shall make this proclamation with the shofar throughout all your land." So on the Shemitah year, 7 times 7 year, we're going to do this blowing of the shofar, blow the teruah blast in particular, and make this proclamation. "You shall hallow the 50th year." So it's the end of 7 times 7, of course. "And proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Anybody remember, recognize that one? Okay, yeah, it used to be, back when we were a free country, and we paid attention to the things that were important to the founders, that was the inscription. Still is, but the Liberty Bell is not what it used to be, obviously. "You proclaim liberty throughout the land," is what it says on the Liberty Bell. This is a Jubilee year. It's called a Yovel, so that's where the word Jubilee comes in English. Yovel in the Hebrew. "And you return every man unto his possession and every man unto his family." So it's a year, literally, of return. And not only that, but we're going to see that things return to the original owners. A Jubilee, a Yovel, is that 50th year. And it'll be that's what it is to you. "You shall not sow nor reap even that which grows of itself," during that one, "nor gather in the grapes of the undressed vines," because it is the Yovel year, the Jubilee. "It shall be set apart unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And in this year of Jubilee, you shall return every man to his possession. And if you buy or sell something to your neighbor or of your neighbor's hand, you do not wrong one another." And so now what we're going to get is this idea in English. If you ever see accounting or finance, they call this discounting. Because essentially what you're going to do is calculate the number of years until some event. In this case, it is the Jubilee. And then you sell and or buy based on the number of years that remain up until you know it's going to go back to the original owner anyway. So, according to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy of your neighbor. And according to the number of years of the crops, he shall sell unto you. So if there's X number of years left, that's how many years you have to get the crops up until the land reverts. "According to the multitude of the years, you shall increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, you shall diminish the price thereof." So it's an inclining or declining scale, again, based on this discount of the number of years that are left, "for the number of crops that he does sell unto you. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear Yahuwah, for ani Yahuwah Elohekim. Therefore, you shall do my statutes, hukoti, and keep my ordinances and do them." and you shall dwell in the land in safety. Now, what's fascinating to me about this, if there is a single thing that should leap off the page at you, it's that, and he's getting ready to describe another element that really brings it home, so we'll get there in a second, but it's this idea of trust. You have to trust in him. You do what it says, he says you're supposed to do, and all of these good things will happen, and you can, in fact, do keep these land Sabbaths and rest assured that things are going to be okay. You're not going to starve during that time. So, do these things, keep my ordinances, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat until you have enough, and dwell therein in safety. He'll protect us. And if you say, well, wait a minute, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we can't sow, nor gather in our increase. Again, the answer, trust. Because I, he says, will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it'll bring forth enough produce for 3 years. So it's got to be enough for that year, for the next year when there's not going to be anything, and then remember, the year after, you still got a while until the land's going to bring forth crops. You have to have enough for that too. So enough produce for 3 years. You shall sow the eighth year and eat of the produce, the old store, up until the ninth year. And when that produce comes in, then you eat the old, up until then you eat the old store. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity. This is the idea of the Yovel, the Jubilee. The land reverts to the original owner. It does not stay sold. It's only sold for the duration of however many years remain till the next return time, the Yovel time. Why don't we do this? He says, well, because the land is mine. You are strangers and settlers with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. So it's not just that the land is going to revert. In the meanwhile, it might go back if the person who has sold it wants to buy it back. So if your brother has waxen poor and he sells some of his possession, then shall his kinsman that is next in line unto him come and redeem that which his brother has sold. Now, if a man has no one to redeem it, and he's waxen rich, and he finds sufficient means to redeem it, well, then let him come, count the number of years for the sale, and restore that overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, and then he can return to his possession. So he buys it back again, based on the discount of how many years are left. But if he doesn't have sufficient means to get it back for himself, then that which he sold shall remain in the hand of him that bought it up until the Yovel year, the 49th plus 1, the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. And in that Jubilee it shall go out, and then he shall return to his possession. Now, we're going to see some caveats here, some other specifics. If a man sells a dwelling place, a house, in a walled city, then he may redeem that within a whole year after it's sold. So he's got 1 year to redeem it. For a full year, he has a right of redemption. But on the other hand, if it's not redeemed within the space of that full year, then the house that is in the walled city specifically, that is to be made sure in perpetuity to the one that bought it throughout his generation. So it's that family's, the man and his descendants thereafter, period. Does not go out of the Jubilee. So the walled city, a house there, is the exception. But the houses of the villages that have no wall round about, they are reckoned with the fields of the country. They may be redeemed. They go out in the Yovel year. So again, singular exception, the house in the walled city. Now, as for the houses of the cities of the Levites, the houses of the cities of their possession, the Levites, on the other hand, they have a perpetual right of redemption. If a man purchases from the Levites the house that was sold in the city, and that goes out in the Jubilee, because the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. The fields and the open land about the cities may not be sold. That is their perpetual possession. And if your brother is waxen poor and he has means and they fail with you, then you shall uphold him. As a stranger and a settler, he shall live with you. But you take no interest of him, nor increase, but fear Elohim, that your brother may live with you. You shall not give him money upon interest, nor give him victuals for increase. So you don't tell him, I'll give you a hamburger today for 2 hamburgers come Tuesday. I wonder where that came from. All right, if you remember. Anyway, I am Ani Yahuwah Yirel, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan to be your Elohim. Now, if your brother is waxen poor with you, and he sells himself unto you, you shall not make him serve as a bondservant, as a hired servant, or a settler he shall be with you. He serves with you again until the year of Yovel, Jubilee. Then he goes out free, he and his children with him, and he returns to his own family, and under the possession of his fathers he returns. For they are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondsmen. You shall not rule over him with vigor, but fear your Elohim. Now, as for your bondsmen and your bondsmaids, whom you may have of the nations that are round about you, of them you can buy bondsmen and bondsmaids. Moreover, of the children of strangers that sojourn among you, of them you may buy, and of their families they are with you, and they've begotten in your land. In other words, all of those people that are there that are strangers, they can be your possession if they fall into a place where they have done something that's worthy of being, in other words, sold into bondage. And you may make them an inheritance for your children after you to hold for a possession, that you may take them as your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the B'nai Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. So there's an exception here. If a stranger who's a settler with you becomes rich, and your brother is waxing poor beside him, he can sell himself unto that stranger who's a settler with you, or the offshoot of a stranger's family, and he that is sold may be redeemed. One of his brethren can redeem him, like his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, that's waxen rich, then he can redeem himself. Now, you shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he sold himself unto the year of the Jubilee. So again, we're going to see how many years are left and discount that number. And it's a per-year price. The price of his sale shall be according to the number of years. According to the time of a hired servant shall he be with him. Now, if there's many years remaining, according unto them, he shall give back the price of his redemption out of the silver that he was bought for. Now, if there remain just a few years until the year of Yovel or Jubilee, then you shall reckon with him. According unto the years, he shall give back the price of his redemption. As a hired servant, year by year, it shall be with him. He shall not rule with rigor over him in your sight. Now, this is an interesting one. In other words, your brother is not to be treated like a slave in your sight. It says specifically those words. And Rashi's comment here is interesting. Basically, what he's saying is, now you have an obligation. This imparts a duty. If you see somebody doing this, then you have an obligation to point it out. Do not keep silent. But if he's not redeemed by any of these means, well, then he goes out in the Jubilee year, he and his children along with him. For unto me, the B'nai Israel are servants. In other words, they're mine. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, Ani Yehuah Elohim. Now, that's the end of chapter 25, at least in some renderings. Remember, the English and the Hebrew sometimes are a bit different. So I'm not sure exactly which ones are where, but in this case, the chapter is at the end of what we just read, and there's two more verses that are part of this Torah portion, and then it ends, and we're going to change gears just a bit. This is an interesting way to wrap things up, too. You shall make unto yourself no idols, neither shall you rear up a graven image or a pillar, nor shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down to that, for Ani Yehuah Elohim. You shall, he says, keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Here it is again. How many times does he have to tell us, my Sabbaths, they're forever. No, they're not Jewish things. They're my things. Do them, keep them. And notice he never, ever changed it. And he says he wasn't gonna. And as long as heaven and earth exist, and they still do, that is still true. So in spite of the fact that we have all kinds of, I would say, stupid explanations for why it is that the apostolic succession and a bunch of men in funny hats changed his Sabbath, because remember, they can do that, right? They know more than the Lord God of heaven does. Wrong. And he wraps the Torah portion up with that reminder. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. And that word is mikdash there. Mikdashi, mine. I am Ani Yehuah. And he says that a lot, doesn't he? Yes, he wants us to make sure we understand. It's very important, clearly.